I'm Vermont Edition producer Sam Gale Rosen. This podcast has been edited for brevity, and we hope you like it.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Just exactly a week ago, though so much has happened in between, the Senate Judiciary Committee held a hearing to take testimony from Christine Blasey Ford, who has accused Brett Kavanaugh of sexual assault when the two were teenagers in the 80s. In the hearing, Senator Patrick Leahy asked Blasey Ford about her memories of her alleged sexual assault.
Well, then let's go back to the incident. What is the strongest memory you have? Strongest memory of the incident, something that you cannot forget. Take whatever time you need.
Indelible in the hippocampus is the laughter, the uproarious laughter between the two, and they're having fun at my expense.
Later in the afternoon, Brett Kavanaugh testified, and under Leahy's questioning, there were some tense moments, early signs that the questions from Senate Democrats were not going to be well received by the judge.
In your yearbook, you talked about drinking and sexual exploits, did you not?
Senator, let me take a step back and explain high school. I was number one in the class.
I thought only the Senate.
You got this up. I'm going to talk about my high school record if you're going to sit here and mock me.
I think we were all very fair to Dr. Ford. Shouldn't we be just as fair to Judge Kavanaugh?
Say.
And that third voice, Chuck Grassley, who was hoping for more fairness towards the judge. Now, a day after the hearing, this Judiciary Committee voted on party lines to move the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh to the full Senate. But Arizona Senator Jeff Flake pushed for a limited FBI probe into the allegations of assault. That investigation was authorized by the president. And although it could have taken a full week, the report was handed over to the Senate this morning. Some senators have been looking over the paper copy behind closed doors and have started to share public statements, depending on their political persuasion, about the value of the report. In between press conferences, committee meetings, and party discussions, Senator Patrick Leahy joins us today to go over what's been happening. Senator Leahy, thanks very much for making the time to talk to us today.
Happy to do it.
Have you actually read the report, or have you, like many senators, just been briefed on it?
No, I've both been briefed on it, and I have read the report.
So what time did you get to read the report?
Mid-morning today.
I know you can't tell us what's actually in it. It's a private report. We're not allowed to have the public see the report or to know the details of it. What can you tell us, though?
Well, I am concerned that the report was pretty well limited by the Trump White House. The Trump White House limited the number of people the FBI could talk with. They obviously did not interview the witnesses that Dr. Ford, who was a very credible witness, that she asked them to interview. There are other witnesses that requested that they interview, but the Trump White House apparently said no on those too. So the FBI report, well, I'm glad they took those extra steps, doesn't really go very far in my mind to what we asked. You know, you had an excerpt of a question I asked Judge Kavanaugh. His answer was similar to what he gave everybody else. No matter what question you asked him, you have to understand what I did when I was a Boy Scout or I did. No, let's ask about these specifics. Whatever we asked him, he started talking about something else. We had the same thing in his confirmation hearing. He was asked about the stolen property that he had access to, stolen from the Senate Democrats by Manny Miranda, a Republican staff person. And he danced around that question forever in the hearings.
And that was when he worked for President George Bush.
Mm-hmm.
Senator, you
in
said—
In fact, most of the material about his time with President Bush was not given to the committee. I contrast this to when Elena Kagan was there, the Republicans asked for her records from her time at the White House. We got 99% of them to them. With when we asked, made the same request about Judge Kavanaugh, we got less than 10%.
It seems like a lifetime ago when we were talking about the documents that were or were not being released in advance of the confirmation. Let me ask you, let me go back to what you just said about the FBI investigation being limited. You said the president clearly didn't authorize the FBI to talk to certain sources. Now, publicly, President Trump has been saying FBI can do what it needs to do. Are you saying that you think he very specifically limited who the FBI was able and allowed to talk with beyond what the public knows about what he's been saying?
It's very obvious the White House limited who they could talk with. The president says he's in charge of the White House. So there you are. You know, we've had a lot of comments the president makes, and it turns out that just the opposite is true. More so than any president I've ever ever known.
We're talking with Senator Patrick Leahy, and we're talking specifically about Judge Brett Kavanaugh, the hearing process, the confirmation process. FBI report is out this morning, and it still looks pretty clear that the full Senate will be voting. Mitch McConnell has said he'd like that to happen this week. So that starts a process, and should that happen tomorrow, it could all be wrapped up by the end of the weekend. If you have questions for Senator Leahy, you can call 800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. Or post your comments on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. You mentioned stolen emails, Senator Leahy, and Robert sent a question about that, saying you've questioned Judge Kavanaugh about distribution of emails you said were stolen from you and other Democrats and distributed under the subject title spying. Isn't this a potential crime? Ignoring all other questions surrounding Judge Kavanaugh, is the distribution of stolen emails itself a disqualifying event?
I think it is a disqualifying event. Of course, he gave numerous answers which were inconsistent, just as Manny Miranda, the man who stole the documents, has continued to give inconsistent answers. Incidentally, you mentioned the timetable on this. Marcel and I were home last weekend in Vermont. I lost count of the number of people that came up to me on the street and say, why are they rushing this? What are they trying to hide? Why don't they take time to get all the answers?
So what do you say then?
I say, I have the same question. Senator McConnell is rushing it. He's been told by Donald Trump to rush it. It's sort of like, yes, sir, I'll go ahead and rush it. And that's what they're doing. We're talking about a lifetime appointment. This is the same Republican leader who held up Merrick Garland for over a year, would not even allow a hearing for the Supreme Court. Now he says, oh, golly, we got to hurry this up. If we don't have time to hear everything, so what? What the Senate should be doing is trying to protect the American people, everybody, Republicans and Democrats alike. What they're doing is trying to protect their nominee.
Senator Leahy, this has become so political, so partisan. And, you know, even just this morning, watching dueling press conferences about the FBI report, Republicans say it's a solid report. There's no corroborating evidence. This has been dragging on long enough. It's time to vote. Democrats say there's not enough in this report. It wasn't thorough. I mean, that's just this morning. Some Americans are really struggling now to figure out, who do I trust? How should I have any belief that this isn't just a purely political process, that both sides are basically digging in their heels to get what they want in terms of the Supreme Court, you know, the Supreme Court lineup? I mean, it's so political now. I think a lot of people are really struggling with trusting anybody, frankly.
Well, I think when you rush something, it's very easy to call it political. I would call it not thorough. I voted for probably more Republican judges than all but two or three Republican senators. So I can't be accused of being political. I voted for Chief Justice Roberts, even though our Democratic leader and a large number of Democrats opposed him. So I try to treat each one case by case. But when I have a person like Judge Kavanaugh, who is obviously not given truthful answers, whose demeanor at this last hearing, I mean, Saturday Night Live made a running segment on it. The thing is, while it may have seemed funny on Saturday Night Live, it wasn't that far off the mark. Here is a person who came across as a bitter partisan, as a person who wanted to get revenge for anybody who questioned him, who felt that his privileged background should make us want him on the court. I don't think any of us accepted that. I've been in the Senate to vote on 19 nominees to the Supreme Court. I have never seen a nominee, either a Democratic president or a Republican president, act like Judge Kavanaugh did. And then this week to see the president openly mocking a woman who came forward and gave very credible testimony. The president openly saying, well, men and boys have got to watch out because women will start accusing them. This is the same president who we have audio tapes saying because he's rich and powerful, he can do whatever he wants with women. I think that certainly the women I hear from say, why is this being rushed? And I agree with them.
Let's go to Wally, who's calling in from North Ferrisburg. Hi, Wally. Go right ahead.
Hey, how you doing today?
Great.
Good. Mr. Leahy, you speak very virtuous. You're a character assassin. You can't say that anyone acted any certain way, and you're referencing Saturday Night Live. I mean, come on.
So, Wally, what are you angry about? What's the problem that you'd like to have the senator address?
You just can't say things like Christine Blasey Ford is a very, very credible witness. You can't say things like that because we don't know.
Credible means potentially believable. It doesn't mean she is telling the truth. Why is that a problem to say?
It's not a problem to say. It's a problem to say very matter of fact. And then in the next breath, take Judge Kavanaugh's political accomplishments and say that, all he's doing is getting upset and whatnot. It's just, they're playing a very tit for tat game.
Wally, let me put that to the senator. I mean, Senator Leahy.
Well, I don't consider it tit for tat. After all, as I said, I voted for more Republican nominees than most of the Republican senators who are now serving. So I don't believe in the tit for tat. But I do know one thing. I was a prosecutor for 8 years. I was picked as one of the outstanding prosecutors in the country. I prosecuted sexual harassment and sexual abuse cases. I'm used to talking to witnesses. I'm used to deciding on their credibility because I then have to turn the case to a jury, which would have to make their own decisions. Every one of those, I received convictions. But I had problems with Judge Kavanaugh's credibility long before this matter came up. In the fact that he did not tell the truth to both Republicans and Democrats about the theft of material from the Senate Democrats.
He says he didn't realize those were stolen, and you think that's a lie.
I think everybody thinks that's a lie. And certainly his testimony about other judges' cases he worked on, these just don't work. And so I think that I think that the fact that the president, who a week ago talked about Dr. Ford as being credible, the fact that he went off in such a rant against her means he thinks that Judge Kavanaugh could be defeated. We've had so many things with him.
Part of the question. Let me just guide you.
Let me ask about Judge Pryor. In his 2004 and 2006 hearings, he said he didn't do any work on controversial Bush nominees. He didn't work on the nomination of Judge Pryor, who called Roe versus Wade a constitutional abomination. But it turned out he actually recommended Pryor for the nomination. He interviewed Pryor. He was on the prior working group, and we could go on a whole lot of other things.
Well, that was
testimony under oath.
Yeah, and I think that's part of – I mean, Wally didn't bring this up, but for some people who share Wally's frustration, you and the other Democrats in the Senate weren't going to vote for Judge Kavanaugh to begin with. So, you had already stated, I'm not going to vote to confirm this judge. So I think part of the proceedings with Blasey Ford seemed to many to be sort of a manufactured additional political game rather than something that was brought up because these were allegations that everybody felt should be investigated.
I think a woman who is willing to come forward, testify under oath on something that she did not want to talk about, but felt that she had a duty to come forward, this shouldn't be considered something irrelevant or additional. I didn't announce any position on him until after we'd had the hearings, and I looked at such things as the stolen property from the Senate. Him saying he was not involved with shaping or discussing the post 9/11 detention policies. Emails show that's not true. And he said under oath he knew nothing about the NSA warrantless wiretapping program before it was exposed in the press. His emails show he hadn't been truthful about that. And these are the kind of things that worried me that he was willing to say anything, do anything to get on the court. I think that the United States Supreme Court should have credibility. Everybody, Republican or Democrat alike, should be able to look at the court and say, if they make a decision, all right, it was honestly arrived at. He's basically said, we can manipulate and do whatever we want.
Again, today we're talking to Senator Patrick Leahy. We're getting the latest of what's been happening. I mean, this really seems to be an hour-by-hour changing kind of situation. And this morning we've been learning more about at least the reactions to the FBI report. The report itself is not public. And in fact, senators don't get their own copies. There's one copy that they've been reading and then, in some cases, briefing one another on. Elizabeth writes in to say, I don't care whether someone drank too much in high school. I do care that he lies about it as an adult. And the lies went on the stand under oath. What's the threshold for perjury? And when do what some have characterized as little fibs and social lies add up to a pattern of casual disregard for truth that's really frightening to contemplate in a Supreme Court justice? I'm Jane Lindholm, and this is Vermont Edition. Today, we're talking with Senator Patrick Leahy, and we're spending our time with him discussing the ongoing situation around the confirmation of Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. That process is ongoing and could be wrapped up by the end of the weekend. Let's go to Peter calling in from Shelburne. Hi, Peter. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My question is maybe a little deeper than the current situation, but it involves the current situation around my question is does Senator Leahy see any way of bringing integrity back to this? Back to our public discourse. It seems like, someone wants to deny something that happens and all of a sudden it becomes true. Our president lies. And we have to, find out what is really the truth and and conservative news decides, you know, it's true enough. How do we ever get to the truth anymore?
Thanks for the question, Peter. Certainly that angst is one that many people feel. What do you think, Senator Leahy?
Well, I hear it every time I come home. I hear it walking down the street. I hear it when I'm going through the grocery store, picking up our groceries. And it does worry me a great deal. I've been here with 8 presidents. I've been with Republican leadership or Democratic leadership in the Senate. You try to do things for the best of the country, and we're going off track on this. One thing, there are 2 things that are giving me some hope. The appropriations process, appropriations bills, spending bills, have been off the rails for about 15 years. And Senator Shelby and I, he's the chairman, I'm the vice chairman of the committee, were poles apart politically, but we decided to come together and make the process work. Take out the extraneous things, just stick to what keeps the government working. And so far, we've had more success getting votes of 85 to 95 out of 100 member Senate on the floor, Republicans and Democrats joining us. We had a 5-year farm bill that just passed the U.S. Senate overwhelmingly, one of the highest margins in decades. Again, it's Republicans and Democrats work together. Now, none of this gets in the press, except some of the political press. It means a lot of work, not press conferences, but working late into the evening, often weekends, but it can be done. I'm hoping this is going to set the example. The Kavanaugh hearing, I hope, is an aberration. The fact that the White House wanted this to be very political. Donald Trump said that he would take a name from a special interest group. They would give him the name. That's what he would use. He is given the implication that the Supreme Court has to be an arm of the Trump White House. Well, it's not. It shouldn't be the arm of any White House. I don't care who is president. It's the Supreme Court represents the whole federal court system, an independent branch of government. And I think the danger, the damage here, and this really bothers me, is that this is undermining the credibility of our federal courts. When the president attacks a federal judge he disagrees with and says, well, you know, he's a Mexican. I mean, what president has ever done this? When he attacks women and says they have to be considered differently. You know, this is undermining what our country is supposed to be about. Take a political position on taxes. That's fine. Take a position on what you think we should do on particular issues, fine. But don't do this thing where you undermine the basic institutions of our country.
Yeah, it's you know, it's an impasse, it seems like we're in at this point. I mean, you and I have talked specifically about your work on financial bills and on keeping the budget moving, on keeping these bills moving. But on many other things in this country, we seem very, very far apart. And keeping the government running is certainly an important one. But, you know, social issues in particular are an area where there just seems to be so much distance and so much anger at this point.
In fact, one of the places where people can talk about this, every year, Marcel and I host a women economic conference. We started this 22 years ago. We were starting in a small classroom in Burlington. Never knew who would turn up. Well, so many people turned up, we had to move it into the gymnasium. Now, for this year, we'll do it in Randolph. We'll do it next week, October 13th. We're going to have 400 people have signed up. The keynote speaker is a woman who started a Vermont-based business, Skeeter Headwear. Her products are now sold to 300 retailers. A great example. We're trying to help women who are considering launching their own businesses. We're partnering with Change the Story Vermont to address some of the very tough issues we face: workplace sexual harassment, gender bias, wage gap. I am proud of the people who turn up. We get very little publicity about this happening, and that's fine. But I think people have to show up. Jane, you've been our featured speaker. You remember that huge auditorium, everybody listening to every word you had to say. I think we have to have these things there. We step out of politics. We allow people to raise any points they want. I don't care if they're Republicans, Democrats, Independents. It is an opportunity for women to come forward, have a forum, exchange ideas, speak with each other, and hopefully learn a lot.
We have limited time with you because my understanding is that you have a Democratic caucus meeting that's actually starting right about now, and we've got you for a couple minutes. We've stolen you away for a few more minutes, but sure. So I just want to make sure that we have a couple of things that we can go through. First of all, I'm curious if you plan today, tomorrow, this weekend to talk to some of the Republican senators who have been seen as potentially on the fence, whether it's a Collins, Murkowski, or Flake. And if you then have conversations with them, or if that's done through other channels, to try to give them your perspective.
I'm constantly talking with senators, Republican senators and Democratic senators, because I'm dean of the Senate. I have a special office in the Capitol. We often have senators of both parties come in there just to talk. They know that everything they said stays confidential. And I'll continue to do this. I was one of the ones that during the hearing last week, I was one of the ones who met with Senator Flake in the ante room, where we came to the conclusion to put the vote off for a week. He specifically asked me to come out there. I spent time talking with him. Of course, he and Senator Chris Coons, began that, and I applaud both of them for doing it. Ultimately, every senator's got to make up his or her mind. I worry that senators look at it from what would the votes be at the next election. We have six-year terms. If all you can worry about in every vote, how will they use it against me? I voted more than all but I think four people in the history of this country. Everybody can find votes where they disagree with me. But I have to make up my own mind, my own conscience. I would hope that people will follow their conscience, not what they're told to do by the White House.
How many constituents have you been hearing from over the past week or two, and especially in the past week?
A huge number, thousands, I would say. And Marcel and I were talking about the fact we have never had so many people, total strangers, come up to us in the airport, on the street, restaurant, grocery store, and just say, can I talk with you? And we've also had a number of people who called my office and seeking help. They said they were victims of sexual assault, and they've stayed silent, but they wanted to tell somebody, and they came and talked to us. We put them in contact with people who can help. That has been one of the most overwhelming things I've seen in all my years in the Senate.
Melissa in Glover says, if the vote is in Kavanaugh's favor this weekend, will you still push for a more thorough investigation of all the allegations? Is it a done deal? If more information surfaces down the road, is there anything that can be done to prevent his appointment?
If more information comes, even if he's on the court, I will do everything possible to bring it forward. One of the reasons I've told people why they should think hard about this, I think more information will come out. And I ask those senators who are supporting him, are you going to be able to defend your vote a year from now, 2 years from now, when we finally get all the rest of his records, which we don't have now because they've rushed us so much?
What are you going to be talking about in this caucus meeting that you're running late to?
I'm going to talk about the things where Judge Kavanaugh misled the Senate numerous times over the last 10 years, all those times under oath, and that I do not think he has the temperament to be on the United States Supreme Court.
Senator Patrick Leahy, thanks very much for talking with us on this busy day.
Thank you.